Amen. You may be seated this morning. We are concluding a series that we started at the beginning of the month on the idea of, or the concept of, the will of God. The title of this sermon series has been Connect the Dots. We've been looking at trying to come to the Scripture, trying to come to our walk with God with sort of a broader understanding of what's going on. How can we connect the dots in our lives? How can we understand kind of what this whole thing is about? We've looked at different ideas about God's will, everything from God willing a parking space at the front of Walmart to, you know, God willing the lottery, and all of these ways that we think of the will of God was this or the will of God was that. And over the past 4 weeks, what seems to have risen to the top is that there is a overarching will of God for our lives and for humanity. And it doesn't really have so much to do with parking spaces as it does with restoration and reconciliation. We've noticed that there seems to be this overarching plan in the Bible of fixing what was broken in the garden, of getting things back to the way God originally intended for them to be. And so we've looked at the will of God in the different seasons of our life. We've looked at the will of God in the silent days of our lives. And this morning we're going to be looking at God's will through community. What is God's will through community? You may have been thinking, well, I just figured God's will was to get involved in a church. I thought I just had to go to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And so what's this whole community? Why do we spend all summer going out into the community? What is the deal with all of this community talk? And so this morning we're going to be looking at, what is God's will through community? Why is it that we can't just stay with people that are like us? Why can't we just simply surround ourselves with like-minded people and be done with it? What is this deal with community? And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting at the very beginning, before the fall, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. We're going to look at this thing that God seems to be restoring everything back to. Well, we're going to be looking at this, the way things were, the way maybe God originally intended for some things to be. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So God says, let's make human beings in our image to be like us. Okay, God, who's our? Who's God talking to here? This is either a very confusing scripture, or this is a very profound scripture. I believe this morning that this is our first Trinitarian scripture, our first idea that there is a Father, Son, and a Holy Spirit. And God is saying, let's make man in our image to look like us. As you study the Trinity, there are different models, but the model that I want to preach on this morning is the relational model of the Trinity. The idea that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect relationship. Loving relationship, harmonious relationship, working together to accomplish a common will. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are unique. They have different things that they do, but they never work against each other. They always work together. They always work in relationship with one another. So how does this have anything to do with community and us? Well, I believe this morning when God said, let us make man in our image to be like us, it doesn't mean that he was going to make God was making man have a beard or man or woman because God's a man or God's a woman. I think God created mankind, humanity, to be in relationship with one another, to be in community with one another, the exact same way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in community with one another. You see, this likeness, this image of God that we have been created, does not allow for us to simply be an island to ourselves. In order to be living out the image of God, we have to be in community with one another. That's the original intent. So this whole month we've been looking at the will of God, and that the will of God is to go back to restore things to how he originally intended them to be. And so this morning we are looking at the will of God through community, because if we read Scripture, and if we understand that the image of God that we have been created in is this relationship, this community, then we understand that part of God's will, part of God's restoration, has to do with community. It has to do with us being in proper relationship with those around us, with all of those around us. Now, as we look in Scripture, and as we look in the world around us, we know that there are certain people that we just can't stand, right? There are people that get on our nerves. There are people, it's like, if they post one more thing on my newsfeed, I'm unfriending them. I'm done with them, right? There are these people. In the Old Testament, there are these people that God is very specific. Stay away from these people. Don't mingle with these people. But that wasn't God's original intent. You see, there's a principle that we have to read the Bible through. There's when we connect the dots, it has to do with how do we read the Bible? How do we process all of this? That principle is this: sin divides, but Christ unites. God created something to be this way. Adam and Eve sinned, and from that stain of sin, division began to take place. God hasn't just reached in and removed the sin. The sin is still there. And so, as you read the Bible, you might think, oh man, God must be a racist God, or God must absolutely hate these people, or wonder what these people did to make God so mad. And the reality is, it is the sin that is present in this world that is causing all of the division. But it is the will of God. It is the will of God for restoration to take place. It's not God's will that we be enemies, that we hate each other, that anybody hate each other. That's all a result of sin. The Bible's not whitewashed. It doesn't take away the results of sin. The results of sin were real. There were people groups that hated each other. Dave shared something with us that he saw on a group text, and I wanted to read it this morning. It said that in the book of Deuteronomy, the Moabites are these evil people. They're these evil people that the children of Israel are told to stay away from. But if you read further in the Bible, you run across this woman. Her name's Ruth. And guess what? She's a Moabite. So maybe not all Moabites are bad. And then, if you read in Jeremiah, there's this warning about the people of Uz. But then, we also read about a man named Job, who was the most blameless man on earth. And guess where he's from? He's from Uz. And so, you start to get the idea that sin has labeled these people, sin has defined these people, but God sees something different in the people. God sees something past the sin. He sees restoration. He sees reconciliation. We read in the Old Testament that you're not to bring any foreigners or eunuchs into the camp, but in Acts chapter 8, the African eunuch has preached the gospel and he's welcomed into the church. Jesus himself, when he is on this earth in physical form, he is living in the tension of real racism. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. These were two people groups that could not stand each other. The Jews felt validated in their racism, and the Samaritans felt the same way. But then Jesus tells a parable. He tells a parable to a group of Jews where a Jew was beaten and robbed. And guess who comes to save him? A Samaritan. Samaritans are bad. But wait, Jesus makes him the hero. And finally, we have Peter. Peter, good Jewish boy Peter. He's never ate anything that isn't kosher. Peter, he knows that Gentiles are unclean. Peter, he's a little bothered with the direction that the church is going in. Peter, and he has this dream. And in his dream, this blanket comes down from heaven with all of this food on it. I think Peter's seeing bacon for the first time. And he's like, no, Lord, no. I've never touched anything unclean. And God says, I'll determine what's clean and unclean. And Peter hears a knock at the door. And the Gentiles become part of the church. So the point I want to make this morning is that, yes, sin is real. Sin divides us. It separates us. It creates lines around us. The Bible and the stories that we read in the Bible, they're not exempt from the stain of sin. It affected history. The way the Bible is told is through the lens of sin being present. But the work of God through the Bible, if we connect the dots like we've been talking about, the work of God, the will of God, in spite of the sin, in spite of the stain of sin, in spite of the consequences of sin, God is constantly about the work of restoration and reconciliation. We've talked about the fact that he so was committed to this that he sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross. And so when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he made it possible for the first time and forever for humanity to have a relationship with God outside of the Old Testament temple. But that's not all Jesus did. Because while Jesus was on this earth, he modeled for us how to live. He didn't just simply die. Yes, he died. He made it possible. But he said, now that you're in relationship with me, I want you to be a part of my work. I want you to be a part of the restoration. I want you to be a part of the reconciliation. I want you to be a part of making things the way I originally intended for them to be. And so this morning, the main point, the final point of my sermon is this: God's will through community is community. God's will through community. What's the end goal? What is God? What is the point here? The point is community. He wants us to be in that relationship with one another. Sin's not going to be taken away. You're still going to have people that get on your nerves. You're still going to have enemies. There's still going to be really evil people in this world. And there's still going to be people that, just for whatever reason, you know you can't, maybe you just can't associate with them because they bring you down. But that's got to be the exception to the rule. Because God is looking for us to look at the people around us. And He is looking up for us to be in community with them. The beauty of all we did this summer is we didn't do it alone. If we would have just simply come in here this morning and played a video and pat ourselves on the back, what would that be? No. We did this with the partnership of our community. They don't have to come to our church. They don't have to be a part of their church. They can have their own church homes, their own, whatever it is that they do. They don't even have to go to church at all. But if God uses them to be a part of this, we can't deny it. And so God's will for community, all the way in Genesis chapter 1, when He says, let's make man in our image, is community. I believe this morning that no matter how evil or how bad things seem to get, in the Scripture or in this world, God is constantly reconciling and restoring us to community with one another. God's will from the beginning is community. It's how we were created. What we have to recognize is, where is the sin dividing us? Where are the things that we have just simply accepted as this is how life is? God's saying, no, that's not how I intended for it to be. That's how it is because of sin, but that's not how I want it to be. As the church, this is something, sadly, that we have to be reflective of. We have to be reflective that God has called us to community. And even Paul, as he was trying to describe the church, he uses a model of community. He says we're the body of Christ made up of many different parts. We all need each other. Everybody has a place in the body. Paul's imagery of the body of Christ is like a physical example of community. An area, it seems to me, is that church has become the place sometimes of the greatest division. God has called us to community, but for some reason on Sunday morning across the landscape of our country, we seem super divided. We seem very divided. In fact, in the 1960s, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was given an interview, and he said that it was a shame that the most segregated hour in America is Sunday at 11 a.m. And so in 2018, I say, it's a shame that it's still the most segregated hour in America. God has called us to community. God has called us to understand the other, to be in relationship with the other, to be working in unity with the other. If you look at the characteristics of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they seem so uniquely different, but yet all about the same thing. They do different things and have different roles, but yet they're all working for the same goal. God's kingdom has room for all the different people, all the personalities, all of the things that separate us because of sin. God is looking to make a way. God's looking to pull the Ruths out and the Jobs out. But we have to see the world through God's eyes. As we go forth, as we continue bringing the hope, it is ever important that we continue to be outside of our walls. Because when we go outside of our walls, we are physically positioning ourselves for community, right? Now, what we do by coming here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to acknowledge that if all of our Christian duty, if all of our relationship with God, if all of us living for God is simply coming to church on Sunday, then we are working against what God is about. We're working against community. If we come together, then we should go out together. We should be in the world together. We should position ourselves in a place where we are in community with the community around us. That, I believe, is what will bring hope. Bring hope. Not telling people, you got to think like me or believe like me or come to church with, you know what I mean? So, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong and you're right. But when we go and we say, hey, let me help you with that. What if we all got together and we did something really cool for all the kids before they went back to school tomorrow? Let's do that. That's what we did. Community. God's will through community is community. This summer was a great start. But I believe as we begin to fully understand ourselves in light of community, that God is going to blow open the doors in Conyers. I believe this city is going to experience unity on such a level that other communities are going to look to Conyers and say, how is it that different races and backgrounds, how is it that they come together and they do this together? This is not what's playing out on CNN or Fox News. This is not the narrative that's being on the news. Why is it different? I believe the answer is going to be because God gave us hope. Hope that we can be united. Hope that we can overcome the sin that divides us. Hope that God's will prosper in the end. That God's will of reconciliation and restoration will take place. and that we can be a part of it. We've said all this series, this question: are we asking God to make His will be in alignment with my will? Or are we willing to say to God, Lord, I lay down my will and I want to take on your will? If that's our prayer this morning, then I believe the ultimate goal of this reconciliation and restoration is community. And I think God has already started it. We've celebrated it today. And I believe I'm excited to see how He continues it. I pray that you continue to connect the dots. Find yourself in the story of God. Where do you fit in? Where is God calling you? Where is the community that God wants you to be a part of? Would you stand this morning? So thank you. Thank you for responding and being the community. You're all invited to come out here right on the front lawn. We've got tea, lemonade, and some cookies. Just grab one. Thank you to our community partners that were here this morning. Let's receive this blessing. God, I pray that you would send us forth this week. God, give us your eyes so that we can see the community that you have called us to be a part of. Lord, somehow or another, supernaturally, help us to erase the lines of division that sin have placed before us. And help us to begin to see one another as you see us, in relationship, in community. And now, Lord, as we leave this place, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen.